For KASU News, I'm Jonathan Reeves. Quarantine fatigue is a major concern for those who are most vulnerable. As the economy starts to slowly open back up, those with weakened immune systems are concerned about the expected increase in the numbers of COVID-19 cases. For this perspective, I talked to Brittany Reeves, no relation. She's a graduate student at Arkansas State University and is working on her second master's degree. Reeves has the most severe form of spina bifida. She's an amputee and her immune system is extremely compromised. In this interview, I talked to her about her health conditions and her concerns about catching COVID-19. Also, I talked to her mom, whom we interviewed earlier on KASU. Her mom is Dr. Sherlita Amler. Amler's from Marmaduke and has several degrees from Arkansas State. And Amler is currently the health commissioner in Westchester, New York, and has been on the front lines during the outbreak in New York. This is my interview with Brittany Reeves about her thoughts on the quarantine fatigue, COVID-19, and watching her mom be on the front lines. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your family, if you don't mind, please, Brittany.
Of course. I am, like I said, a student here at Arkansas State University. I am a graduate student. I am working on my second master's. I currently have a bachelor's in English, a bachelor's in education, master's in English, and a specialist in community college education. I came to Arkansas State University because my father passed away when I was very young, and we moved away because my mom was in medical school, and she had to do her residency in New Orleans. So I left Arkansas when I was 13, and I didn't get to really build those connections with being away from Arkansas, and with my father's family. And so when it came time for me to go to college, I applied to schools in Georgia where we were living at the time. But I also applied to Arkansas State University, and like many 18-year-olds, I wanted to move away from home. And with my medical condition, my mother was afraid for me to, you know, leave home and kind of, you know, be independent and on my own, but at the same time, she had always raised me to be independent, so I came to Arkansas and came to school here. My mother is a physician. She is the health commissioner of Westchester County, New York. I have an older sister who lives in Atlanta, who's a physical therapist in Atlanta, so we're kind of all spread out, so to speak. I have really tried to not let my disability impact my life. I have tried very hard to do things that everyone else does. Graduating from high school, I drive a minivan. I live alone. I take care of myself. And that was something that my family started at a young age. Whenever, something would come up and it would be difficult for me, they didn't take over and do it for me. They never did that. It was, okay, Brittany, figure it out. And, you know, when you're young, you don't really understand why they do that. But as I've gotten older, I appreciate that so much because it's made me the independent person that I am.
So tell me a little bit about, if you don't mind, about your medical conditions and those things, if you don't mind, please. I know it's very extremely personal, but it also kind of sets up the reason why you're so concerned about this coronavirus, if you don't mind, please.
Yes, I love sharing, my story with others, so it's no problem at all. I have spina bifida. There are three types of spina bifida, and unfortunately, I have the worst form. It's called myelomeningocele. I've had it since birth. I was born with both hips dislocated, club feet, kidney disease. When I was 18, and actually in my first semester of college, I had my right leg amputated due to a bone infection. And because of that, I am in a wheelchair. Before that point, I was using crutches and I was upright and mobile. But after the last amputation, I switched over to primarily being in a wheelchair because it was easier. You know, being on a college campus, it's not easy to carry books and walk on crutches across a college campus. So the wheelchair became more feasible for me. And so with that, with being in a wheelchair, you know, you develop lung issues. I have asthma. I have a history of pneumonia. I've had pneumonia 4 times. I've spent about half my life in a hospital. I've had over 20 different operations over my lifetime. Everything from a shunt. I have a shunt in my head that drains the fluid to my stomach, the excess fluid to my stomach that I've had since birth. I've had kidney stones. I've had, the normal stuff, kidney stones, gallbladder. But then I've also had the amputation and orthopedic surgeries and tethered cord operations on my spine. So I've spent a lot of time in the hospital room.
My goodness. And so how are you doing right now?
You know, it is a very scary time for me. Health-wise, I'm doing great. But that's because of the precautions that I'm taking. But it's a very, it's a very terrifying time to be disabled or have any sort of underlying health condition right now. It's just, it's very difficult to, you want to be able to do your everyday things like everyone else is doing, but, sometimes things happen and you have no control over it. For example, one night I was coming home from the library, to the dorm, and right when I got in my room, the wheel fell off, of my wheelchair. Things like that that come up when you are, dependent on wheelchairs and ramps. You know, they don't always work. And in times like this, people don't always want to help. They don't want to help, people that aren't disabled. And so that's a difficult. I've noticed that. I've noticed that, I was having trouble the other day with my ramp, and people just stared at me. No one offered to help. And I was on the ground, and I'm trying to, it's all metal, and I'm trying to pull it out. And, and that's, I'm not saying that everyone is like that, but, no one wants to get close to you. They don't want to, they don't want to infect themselves. So they, they're staying 6 feet away. And, so it's a catch-22 situation there.
Tell me about, with all of this, there's a lot of people who are quarantine fatigue, ready to get back to work, the economy's starting to slowly open up. With all of that, what are your main concerns about this as life starts trying to go back to some sort of normal?
My main concern is that people are going to start to go back to normal, and they're going to think that that means that the virus is gone. And it doesn't mean that the virus is gone. Something that people need to understand is that 50%, half of the people that have this virus do not know they have it. And during that time, they can transmit it to others. So, you know, for someone like me, that is very, very, very terrifying. I've been told by 4 different doctors over the past 2 months that if I get this virus, I'm dead. There is no if, ands, or buts. It will kill me. And so, so able-bodied people need to understand that it's not about them. I've had, you know, I've had friends say, well, I'm perfectly healthy. I don't have any underlying health conditions, and that's great. I'm so glad that they don't have those issues, but they can still infect me, and that's the concern. You know, we need to watch out for each other. We need to help each other stay healthy and stay safe. And we need to realize that our actions can you know, be deadly for someone else. And that is the truth. That is the truth. It can, you know, if I come into contact with someone with coronavirus, I mean, I will be honest here. You know, I get the flu every season. I have the worst immune system of anyone that I know. If I can catch it, I will. And, you know, people need to understand that. They need to understand that because they decide, hey, I'm going to, you know, get out and I'm going to, you know, go shopping and I'm going to go visit grandma and I'm going to go, you know, do all of these things, that they could potentially have the virus. And if they do, they could kill grandma. And that's the reality. We are not out of the woods. Just because the government is wanting to start back things up, that doesn't mean that the virus is gone. It is not gone. It is still out there, and it can still infect us. So we have to continue to do precautions, and we have to stay vigilant. We have to, you know, continue to be safe and to keep other people safe. You know, your loved ones, your friends, your family. That is so important because it could be the difference between life and death if they don't.
Brittany Reeves is joining us here on KASU. So, Brittany, how's the quarantine been for you so far?
It has been like, I would compare it to being in the hospital. You know, like I told you, I've spent a lot of time in the hospital, and this is actually great because I don't have an IV. I don't have, nurses coming in and waking me up at all hours of the night. But, you know, I'm used to this time of year. I kind of self-quarantine because of the flu already. But every time I do go out, I go and I get what I need and I come home. There's no lollygagging. There's no, you know, interacting with people. It's go get what I need. I shop like a man right now. I go, I get what I need and I come home. You know, women, we tend to like to look through things. I don't do that. You know, have as little contact as possible. And I've actually been quarantining or minimizing my outings since mid-February when New York got the virus. I started doing it because I knew that it was only going to be a matter of time before it came to Arkansas. So I started early, making sure that I had plenty of food, making sure that I had plenty of gas. And again, limiting, you know, my outings to food, the library, doctor's offices, and that was it. You know, and the difficult part is normally during the summer, I travel a lot. I don't do summer classes because of my health. I like to take a break because school is very difficult and very draining. And so I take breaks during the summer and I travel, and I'm not able to do that. So that kind of, you know, that stinks, not being able to do that.
Right. So you made mention earlier that you just go out, get absolutely what you need, and then come back. Do you have people who help you with that, or is that something that you just mainly do on your own?
I do it on my own. I don't want to I want to limit my contact with others. So, you know, thankfully, like I told you, from an early age, my family made me very independent. So I go and get my groceries. I go to the doctor's office. I pick up my medication, but I literally go and come right back home. And I wear masks and I have hand sanitizer and I bring gloves. And every time I go into the store, people think that, you know, they put on their gloves and they go into Target and then they go into Walmart and then they take their gloves off, that they're protecting themselves, and they're not. When I say that, I go and I have a mask on, I use hand sanitizer, I put my gloves on, I go into Walmart, I do my shopping, I come out, I throw my gloves in the trash, I use hand sanitizer again. If I'm going to go to Kroger, I do the same thing. I, you know, use hand sanitizer and I, you know, change out my gloves and then go into Kroger and then I take them off. Every time you go into a store, if you're wearing gloves, you need to take them off after you leave. Or, you know, as you're at the door, sometimes they have trash cans at the door.
Right. Masks. You said that you use masks. Do you use like cloth masks or you use regular medical masks?
I use regular medical masks. I do not use the cloth masks because they're not as effective. I had this analogy, or found this analogy, and it's very, very true to the virus. If two people are naked and they're walking, you know, they're talking, and one of them pees, that pee is going to get on you because they're naked. Because you're naked. And if I'm wearing clothes and that person is naked and we're talking, and they pee, it's still going to get on me because, you know, it seeps through my clothes and a little bit is going to get on me. But if we are both wearing clothes, meaning masks, then if that person coughs or whatever, it's not going to get on me. So I wear medical, I have some N95s and I have some regular masks, and I wear them depending on where I'm going to be.
I know that you made reference earlier to your mom, mm-hmm. who has been in New York on the front lines as health commissioner in that area. So how has she been doing so far? I know you've probably had a chance to talk with her, kind of keep up with her. We actually did an interview with her earlier. How is she doing so far?
She is doing well. You know, it's difficult for her because we are so far apart. But she does what she does for me. And she's had to work 7 days a week since this all began. And, you know, she, in New York, they have different guidelines than they do here. So, you know, if you're in New York and you're over the age of 2, then you have to wear a mask when you are in public. And, you know, I personally think that should be a nationwide thing, just to keep people, you know, safe. But she's doing the best that she can, you know, trying to keep, because she is in that vulnerable age range. I'm not going to tell her age on the air, but, you know, she's, so, you know, there's concern for herself but she does it because she wants to protect the public, and she wants to make sure that people are safe. And the thing about this virus is that if you self-isolate, if you minimize your contact with others, you won't get it. If I stayed in this apartment through the entire pandemic and I didn't get out at all, I will not get the virus because I'm not having any physical contact. This virus is spread through contact. And so, you know, she's trying to help people understand the seriousness of this virus, and she's trying to keep it from spreading, you know, and you know, part of that is keeping it contained so that it doesn't reach me, you know. And so she's doing, you know, it's her job is very demanding, and, you know, and then on top of that, both of her children are, you know, out of state. So, you know, there's she worries all the time. She's, you know, a typical mother, but she, you know, she worries.
But I imagine, though, that you worry, obviously, for her and her health and safety in this, because yeah. When you think about people who are on the front lines, I mean, that's exactly what your mom is doing. So describe to me how it is like for you, and I know you worry about her and her safety. How is that like for you?
Yeah. You know, it's terrifying. It is, like I told you, I lost my father when I was 9. And when you lose a parent, you, or at least in my sister and my case, we live in constant fear that something's going to happen to our mom. You know, she is our rock. She is our everything. And since the day that he passed, you know, we worry about her safety. We worry about, you know, how she's doing, and she's who, you know, she's what we have, and she's very important to us, you know, because she's our mom, but also because we lost, you know, our father, and so it's, I worry about her all of the time. I worry about her job and her being, you know, and her dealing with this and being on the front lines. I worry because of her age, you know, I don't want to lose a family member, or any more friends from this. My boyfriend lives in New Orleans, and I lived in New Orleans for a couple of years, and I've lost friends down there, and I have friends who've lost family members, and, you know, it's hard because if they could have stayed self-isolated, if they could have, you know, not come in contact with this virus, they would be alive right now, or they would be well right now. And that's a very difficult thing.
It looks like that this is going to be something that will be here for the long haul. They're talking about that the fall, we might see another round or second additional waves. I know you've probably heard that.
Yeah.
How do you plan to keep yourself safe as we move forward? And you know that these things, you know, maybe coming in waves. How do you plan to keep yourself safe?
I will self-isolate as much as possible. Wear gloves when I'm out. Bring hand sanitizer. Wear a mask. Limit my contact with others. And that's all you can really do. That's really all you can do. And, you know, be self-conscious. Be self-conscious about who you have around you. Because, like I said, you know, 50% of people that get this virus, they don't know they have it. And so be be aware. I will be aware of my surroundings, who I have around me, who I let into my personal space, who I, you know, if someone is coughing, making sure that I get as far, you know, get at least 6 feet away from them. You know, just awareness. Awareness that the virus is still out there. Awareness of how I can protect myself and those that I love. And just be continuously alert, just like I am with the flu. You know, this is not, I mean, I'm wearing masks and gloves more than I would during the normal flu season, but I do this with the flu just because, you know, my immune system is so weak.
Brittany, I really appreciate you and your time today. Virtual hug to you. Just to try keep you safe in that. But is there anything else that you would like to add, please?
I just want people to stay mindful that the virus is still out there. Just because things are opening up doesn't mean the virus is gone. It's not gone. It's still there. And we need to continue to keep that 6 feet distance. You know, I'm seeing on Facebook, I'm seeing people, you know, gathering with their families again, and that's great. But we need to continue to do these precautions until we have a vaccine. And that's going to take time. That's the vaccine. It's not going to happen tomorrow. The vaccine is going to take time. And until we have that vaccine, we need to stay alert, aware, and we need to care about those that have underlying health conditions and keep them safe. Because it's you know, we need to work as a community to keep everyone safe, those in with underlying health conditions and those with not. You know, with no underlying health condition.
Fantastic. Brittany, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate your help and your perspective on all this. Please stay safe. Stay well.
Thank you.
We definitely want to keep you around for a long time. So please do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time. And, you know, just I want everyone to stay healthy and safe, and that includes you. Please, you know, be cautious out there.
And that was Brittany Reeves. For KASU News, I'm Jonathan Reeves.